Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome nationally syndicated radio host and best-selling author, Dave Ramsey.
Well, turn to your workbooks as we get into one of my favorite lessons. This is about relating with money. You see, we've talked about this. Personal finance is 80% behavior. It's 20% head knowledge. If I could control the guy I shave with, and how many of you when I said that thought, if I could control my spouse? You know the truth. Relating with money is a big deal. Relationships and money, well, they mess with each other. Relationships that are bad mess with the money. Relationships that are good help the money. Well, and money that's going good, it helps the relationship. And when money's going bad, it hurts the relationship. But in my case, the woman does make the man. It's kind of like the old story, I think it's true, it should be, of George Bush, Sr. When he was up for re-election several years ago, they were on their last trek back across Texas, their home state, and they were in the limo, George and Barbara Bush, doing a campaign deal all across the state of Texas. Don't know if it's true, but it should be. They pulled into a gas station, and the gas station attendant saw the presidential limo with all the Secret Service people, ran out, began to pump the gas, got to pump gas in the presidential limo. Barbara turns around, sees the guy, they're in their home state. She jumps out, runs around the limo, says, Harry! Gives the guy a big hug. They stand back there, yak it up a little while, and George is looking at this. Barbara gets back in the limo in a few minutes, and George says, just who was that? Barbara said, well, that's my old boyfriend in high school. And George got this big smile on his face. And he said, now, let me get this straight. If you had married him, you would be the wife of a gas station attendant. But you married me, and you are the wife of the most powerful man on the planet, president of the largest and most powerful country, an economic force, a military force to be reckoned with. You are married to me. You married the president. She said, no, George, you don't understand. If I had married him, he would be president. So when you meet my wife, you'll know that that's the case at our house for sure, without a doubt. All right, the flow of money in your workbook represents the value system that is operating under, that family is operating under. Jesus said your treasure is where your heart is. Where you spend your money, how you spend your money, tells me who you are. It's your autobiography. And men and women, we approach this stuff differently, don't we? Oh, you know we do. Men and women approach money differently like we approach life differently. Gary Smalley, the great writer on marriage, the great Christian writer, and a great guy too, by the way, just a fabulous man, has a great book out. And in one of the books, he defines this stuff. He says, men love to share facts. Women love to express feelings. Men connect by doing things. Women connect by talking. Dennis Rainey, who does a thing called Family Life Today, another Christian marriage and family counselor, says that the average man will speak. We are less verbal than females on average. Did y'all know that? The average man will speak about 20,000 words a day. The average lady will speak about 50,000 words a day, with gusts up to 120,000 words a day. Smalley says men tend to be controlling, women tend to remain agreeable, men tend to be independent, women tend to be interdependent. John Gray, in his great book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, if you've not read that, you ought to get it and read it. If you're married, it's a necessity, says men define ourselves by our ability to achieve results, where women, on the other hand, tend to define themselves by the quality of their relationships. So we are different, and we handle money different. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Men, when it comes to the emergency fund, say, you want me to put $10,000 or $15,000 aside, 3 to 6 months of expenses, and set it aside and do nothing with it, and you want it to sit there and it's not invested. I have a BBD, a bigger, better deal I can do with that money. It's boring. It's not sophisticated enough. Where women, on the other hand, say this is the most important key to our financial plan. Guys, I need all the men in the room, please, to stand up. Guys, if you are married or ever hope to be someday, listen to me very, very carefully. Women are different. You knew that, didn't you? And I'm not just talking about plumbing. I'm talking about the way they process stuff here, right? No question about it. We've been discussing that as we go along. They express feelings. We like to achieve results. Well, let me tell you, they have a little gland inside of them called the security gland. I don't know. It's just the way God wired them. It's why they say things like the emergency fund is the most important key to our financial plan. But if you have a lady in your life that you're going to be married to and you want her to be happy, you have to do some things to make the security gland relax. Because if it gets really, really tight, it starts affecting their face. It messes with them. Now, my point is this. If you will set aside $10,000 or $15,000 cash, or $7,000, whatever 3 to 6 months of expenses is in your house, just for emergencies, and you leave it alone, and you promise never to touch it, and she believes you, let me tell you guys, that's one of the best investments you'll ever make, because she relaxes in a place you don't even have. And it'll change your life because you will have changed hers. Not because she's weaker, but because on this subject, she draws security from money. And that's not bad at all. What that is just different from the way we do it. So you don't have to get it. You just gotta get it. Okay? You do the emergency fund and it will change your marriage. I promise you. Am I right, ladies?
Yes.
All right. Have a seat, guys. Thank you, gentlemen. All right. Now, when it comes to shopping, we do things different too, right? Men, we get good deals by negotiating, right? I don't want to go shopping. I just want to go in the store, pull out my $100 bills, kill everybody in the store until I get a bargain. I want a deal. I don't want to go from store to store to store. I just want to hurt people in that store until I get a deal. So what? Right? You want to mess with them. Guys, we want to go in. It's a competition thing. It's a warrior thing, right? Ladies, they don't want to do that stuff most of the time. Now, my wife, she doesn't do confrontation stuff. I mean, I go in there and I'm start, get the $100 bills out. And I'm like, I want a bargain. I got this attitude thing going. She's going, you embarrass me. Yeah, princess, but you ain't broke anymore, you know? Ladies get good deals, on the other hand, not by negotiating typically, but by hunting and hunting and hunting. And hunting. I went to this marriage conference one time, and this guy, he had some really good material, but I tell you what, he was wrong on one thing. He said, guys, if you really want to get close to your wife, go shopping with them. Right. It's a good way to cause a fight at my house, okay? I am not a shopper. I can stand up here and do this for 5 or 6 hours. My feet don't hurt. But if I go into the mall for 30 seconds, my feet hurt to my neck. What's up with that? You know, I don't understand. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And the truth is, it's kind of like this, one, Gary Smalley talks about this. He says, when you get out of the car and you go shopping together, the wife gets out and starts to go towards the thing. The guy goes, what are we here for? Identify the target. I'm going to map out the closest way to get through the mall to the store. Boom. We're going to go in the store, kill the thing, drag it to the register. While we're walking towards the register, we will visually analyze who is productive and which line is going the fastest so we can get in the fastest line, and we will get out of there. And the wife's looking at you going, you really don't get this shopping thing, do you? You know, what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to go in every store. We have to touch everything in every store. We have to try a lot of it on, right? And we have to discuss the checkout girl's family problems with her as we check out. We buy a whole lot of stuff, and tomorrow we will bring most of it back. Amen. We do process this shopping thing different. So Sharon and I, we figured this deal out. It does not do our marriage good for us to shop together. We have a wonderful marriage, but it's not because we shop till we drop. I'm really good at negotiating just because I kind of got an attitude thing about it. I mean, it's my money. I'm tired of them taking my money. I'm going to get as much for my money as I can get. I just love messing with them. They messed with me for years, and now that I got their game down, I just mess with them. I just go in, sometimes I go in into the electronics store, and I'll just walk around going, You know, I like to get a deal. You know, I like to mess with folks. I enjoy going to other countries where you negotiate. We're going to do a whole segment on negotiating and on buying bargains. You'll enjoy it. It's one of the funniest, most fun, informative nights and afternoon sessions that we do. So we'll have a really, really good time with that. But this marriage thing, we decided we were going to just not try to go uphill on this. Sharon's really good at hunting. She hunts and hunts and Consumer Reports and the web, and she knows everything about it, and she's an expert on the whole deal. And then so what we do is we let her hunt it down, and then I go kill it. So the men and women, we process this stuff differently. When it comes to financial problems, if you're in this class and you're in financial problems, well, there's always a percentage of the folks in Financial Peace University that are struggling. Men process the financial problems differently. With men, we lose self-esteem because with us, money represents a scorecard. If you're in here and you are struggling financially and you're married, again, listen to me very carefully. Ladies, he does not feel right now in the midst of this like Sir Galahad. Okay? He does not, you know, the sword is there, but it's a little rusty, okay? The armor's there, but it's got some moss on it, okay? It's not doing really good. He really doesn't feel as manly in the middle of a financial or career crisis as, well, he doesn't feel good at all about himself. So if you're in a financial crisis, ladies, you need to remember that. He doesn't need a barking chihuahua around his ankles. He might find one last use for that sword. You know? When you're facing financial problems, guys, listen carefully. That lady is afraid. Sharon said fear is not the word. She made us change it. It's terror. Because with her, that security gland gets all knotted up. Money represents security. Money represents security with ladies. So guys, what your lady needs if you're struggling right now financially is not you at home singing the hee-haw song every night. Gloom, despair. Now, I don't want you also to deceive her. I'm going to lie to the little lady. I'll just tell her everything's going to be okay. No, I'm not talking about that, okay? She's not an idiot. She's your wife, okay? Don't get into that mode. But what she does need is the truth and about 3 to 5 extra non-sexual hugs a day. She's a little scared. Some of you guys need to look up non-sexual, okay? But the truth, what she needs is just somebody to embrace her and say, honey, you know what? If it gets bad and they take some of our stuff, they're not going to take us. Us is something that's hanging out. Because bankruptcy and divorce are best friends. This stuff will take your marriage, this financial thing. It'll mess with your marriage big time. We all know that. Some of you are looking at me going, I'm afraid to flinch because this is us, you know. Hey, I've been there. I know. It just about got Sharon and I. Not quite, but just about knocked us off. It's tough when you're struggling. So, you know, how many of you started out broke like I did? You remember driving a 1902 Pinto? You remember the deal? And starting like that? And you know, what I told Sharon was many a time, I just said, honey, if we go back there, and we did, if we go all the way back to nothing and start, we're going to do this together. That's all she needed to hear. She didn't need to hear some pie in the sky, some lie I had made up, some scheme or scam, but she did need to hear me say out loud and physically embrace her that we were going to do this thing together. And that's how we made it. So if you're struggling financially, watch this stuff. It will take your marriage. Worth Magazine did a survey that says the number one thing we fight about in our marriages is money. USA Today printed another study by the Lutheran Brotherhood, which found that, again, the number one thing we fight about is credit, spending, budgeting. Citibank, believe it or not, did a study that found that 57% of the divorces they studied were caused by money problems and money fights. Another study was done by Scripps Howard News Service that said as many as 70% of the divorces in North America are caused by money fights. Without a doubt, the number one thing we file divorce over in North America is money fights. But if it's the worst area, then that tells us that if we can get that part working right, that it can become actually the best area of our marriage. Larry Burkett, the great financial counselor, tells people that money is either the best area of communication in a marriage or the worst. But boy, it can really cause some things going on, because it's got to do with power. It's got to do with priorities. It's got to do with our dreams. It's got to do with our passions. It all shows up in how we handle money. So sometimes when we're fighting about money, what we're really fighting is about other stuff that we want the money to flow towards. As a matter of fact, most of the time that's the deal. So the cool thing is, when you can come into agreement, as you learn to discuss and agree on major purchases, as you come into agreement and learn to discuss and agree on your budget, what you're doing is you're agreeing on your value system. And as you agree on your value system, you're going to see a huge change in your relationships. Because you get married, you're not one. You remember the drill? You come down the aisle, dun, 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 dun. And then the preacher lies. He says, and now you are one. Uh-uh. You remember that first year? Those good fights that first year. Yeah, your mama's ugly too. You remember those good ones, you know? And you find out that Dennis Rainey says you come to the marriage with one of you with a set of floor plans for a ranch and another one with a set of floor plans for a tri-level. If you don't sit down and figure this thing out, you build a pretzel, right? And if that's not bad enough, if men and women being different isn't bad enough, on top of that, opposites attract, don't they? Man, I tell you what, one of you is late for everything.
He said to be in there by a certain time, and I want to be there and get a good seat.
And you got up at 6 a.m., you know? And you're on time for everything. Well, that's me. I'm a nerd. I am on time. I have to be on time. Sharon will be late for her funeral. I mean, the woman. We lose our religion with our three kids getting ready for church, you know? I told her the other day, I said, by the time we get there, Jesus is going to be gone, you know? I mean, it's unbelievable. She just drives me bananas, you know. And some friends of ours, Steve and Annie Chapman, he's got a great sense of humor. He does ministry to the family. Steve said this thing one night, and she used it on me once when the kids were little. She said, this Sunday, why don't we trade places? You get the kids ready, and I'll go out in the driveway and honk the horn. But, you know, one of you's late for everything. The other one's on time. One of you's in here burning up, and the other one's freezing to death. Y'all ever have those thermostat wars at the house? Rip the little plastic knob off like it had something to do with it, you know? I threatened to get one of those plastic covers, you know, with a lock on it. Leave the thing alone. The concept is it will adjust itself, you know? Moving it around. Oh, man, we've had the, you know, one of you is burning up, the other one's freezing. The opposites attract, don't they? One of you is a spender, the other one is a saver. And you need each other, don't you? I mean, you spenders, you need a saver in your life. Otherwise, you're going to retire on the dog food budget, right? You spenders, are you savers? You need a spender in your life so you have a life. Okay? Opposites attract, and you need each other. Larry Burkett says if two people just alike get married, one of you's unnecessary. And so just go into it knowing this. Men and women are different, and opposites attract. So it's not going to be easy. I don't know what it's for exactly. It could have been easy. God could have just made it easy, but he didn't. He's messing with us somehow. I think he's laughing. But the truth is, if you can work on this money thing, what you do is you bring these opposite tendencies, the male-female, and you bring your other opposite tendencies, spender-saver, and some of these other things together. And as you agree on your spending, what you're really doing is you're agreeing on your priorities. You're agreeing on your fears. You're agreeing on your passions. You're agreeing on your goals. When you agree on all of those things, you reach a level of unity in your marriage that you will get no other way. You can't get unity as good as this by doing it any other way. The truth is, it works kind of like this. If you go down to the church house, right, and you're going to get married, what do they say? The preacher says, and now we're going to tie the knot, right? You know the drill. Problem is, what we're saying here is, in that knot gets this thing called money. And as that money gets in there, then we get something to fight about. And we get in that opposites attract, men and women differences. And you go, I want to save it. I want to do this with it. I want to save for the kids' college. You know, baby, I want a bass boat, you know. Right? And you're going back and forth, and you're fighting. The cool thing is, you can have the bass boat and the kids' college fund. The way we're going to teach you to do that as we go along is with this thing
called a budget. And the neat thing is, when you put a budget on this money situation, what happens is it takes all the knots out of your bank, and you have oneness. So Dave, in a marriage situation, who does the financial decision making? Both of you. Do the financial decision making. Now, what I recommend is the partner with the natural gift prepare the budget, but the decision making is by both of you. This is a team effort because you need those strengths and weaknesses brought to the table to balance things out. My nature is I'm a spender. So it's a really good thing for Sharon because Sharon would live in a cave, collect lint, only come out on triple coupon Thursdays. She is a natural tightwad. That's not a thing I make fun of. As a wife, that's a really blessing kind of a thing to have. Some of you guys wish you had a wife like that, right? But some of you ladies don't want a husband that likes to spend. But that also means we get to go to some really nice places, and I'm a big gift giver because that comes with spending too. So the princess gets some stuff out of the deal. So it's all right, right? So you got to work through this thing and then you get that unity together. But you make your decisions together. What happens is the nerd likes to do the budget because it gives them control and they feel like they're taking care of their loved ones. The free spirit feels controlled, not cared for, and can appear irresponsible to the nerd at times. Now, we're overstating this a little bit, but let's stay with this concept for just a second because this is important stuff. What happens is the nerd is usually the more organized person. Their underwear drawer is folded. They like doing the bills. They enjoy seeing that checkbook balance to the penny. Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, they keep up with stuff. They're the ones that naturally plan for the future. They're the ones that have everything laid out before the vacation, right? And they know the maps and the whole deal. In my house, I'm the nerd. I'm a planner. I like keeping up with the numbers. It's my nature to want to do those. It's weird sometimes to have a nerd and a spender in the same body, but it's okay. In my house, I'm real organized. I have to be on time. I'm kind of nerdish. I'm the one that, by nature, I'm the one that would sit down and do the bill. Sometimes the nerd is a lady. Sometimes the nerd is a man. It's okay. Now, the free spirit is not irresponsible, and they're not some kind of big child, but sometimes we nerds think you are. The free spirit actually is a pretty responsible person. They just don't live for flow charts and spreadsheets, you know? They have a thing called a life. And so I'm in there going, look, honey, what our great-grandchildren will have. And she's going, would you turn the computer off and go outside? The sun is shining. You know, you nerd. She's always, you nerd, right? So the free spirit, though, they don't feel cared for. See, we nerds, we think we're caring for you. We take care of you. You need to be cared for. And you free spirits don't feel cared for sometimes. You feel controlled and manipulated, don't you? How many of you in the room, and usually there's one in each marriage. In my house, Sharon's the free spirit and I'm the nerd. How many of you would be on my team and you would call yourself the nerd? Raise your hands. Okay, great, great. Keep them up. I want to see all the nerds. Good. Where's a female nerd? There's a female nerd. Good. Are you guys married right here in the fourth, third row? Is that... You guys, no, you're not together. Okay. Ah, there's one. Got him. Okay, good. Okay, cool. So I'm going to pick on you guys a little bit because some of the females are nerds. That's okay. How many of you are on Sharon's team? I hope it's the other side and you're the free spirit. You better get your hand up there, right? You're the free spirit. That's cool. Now, here's what happens. Usually the nerd at the beginning of the relationship or lately since they've been listening to Dave Ramsey does the budget and they bring the budget down from the mountain. God has given them this budget. They have the sunburn, you know, the Charlton Heston thing going, right? And they present the nerd budget to the household and says, household, this is how you will live. And the free spirits all look at us and go, just till I can get to the shopping mall or Home Depot, I will fix that budget. Right? Now I want to change this process a little bit. Because you're going to have to learn to do a budget. We're going to talk about that in another session. But I want to teach you how to do a budget where you can do it with your relationship and make this free spirit nerd thing work. What I want to do is design a thing we call the budget committee meeting. Now, the budget committee meeting works like this. How many of you are nerds? Again, raise your hand. Let me see your hand. Okay, nerds. Now, here's the deal. I want you to prepare the budget, the first draft. That's a scary thing for nerds when I said draft, wasn't it? And I want you to bring the budget to the budget committee meeting. Now, I don't want you free spirits to do it. You're not any good at it anyway. You don't really like doing it. And we're not going to try to make you into budgeteers, okay? That's not our plan. But we do have some rules for the budget committee meeting then. Let's cover the nerd rules first. Rule number one for nerds at the budget committee meeting. Raise your hand again, nerds. This is your rule. You ready? Rule number one, when you bring the budget and set it on the table, you have had your say, shut up. Right, free spirits? They're tired of you preaching at them. They're tired of you preaching at them. They've heard all of your lines. They're sick of hearing Dave said. They don't want to hear anything else they've done wrong. Shut up and let them look at it. Second rule for nerds. Again, nerds, raise your hand. Second rule for the budget committee meeting, nerds. This is a meeting. It is not a weekend summit. Nerds, understand this. With free spirits, you have a 17-minute window. Anything over... is this real life or what? Anything over 17 minutes, their mind leaves. Now, they went to the financial peace thing, so they'll stay physically. But they unplug and go to the hockey game, right? Their mind goes to something else. Something else is up. They are not into doing this stuff hour upon hour upon hour. They do not get inherent joy out of this process. You have 17 minutes. Now, that's it, nerds. That's the drill, okay? Now, free spirits, raise your hand. You have some rules for the budget committee meeting. Are you ready? The first rule is you must come to the meeting. The second rule is you actually have to talk at the meeting and give mature input. Meaning, I want more money for clothes. That is not mature input. If you want more money for clothes, that's great. The clothing budget might be too low. Some of these nerds, they crunch everything down. I mean, 32 cents a week might be a little low, you know? Right? So you might be. But if you're going to raise the clothing category, you've got to lower another category so the budget still balances. So the nerd has the right to look at you and go, yes, darling, if we raise that category, though, where would you suggest we take it out of? Now, nerds, that's your last rule, by the way. Last rule for nerds, you have to let them mess with your budget. Scares them to death, right? Freaks the nerd out. But if you let them mess with it, then when it's done, it becomes our plan, and we get this unity, this oneness that we were talking about. Okay, free spirits, raise your hand. One last rule, free spirits. Here's your last rule. You ready? There's a phrase at the budget committee meeting that you can never again say. If you want this communication, ladies, if you want this oneness and unity and cooperation, men, here's how you get it. You can never again, free spirits, say this phrase. This phrase will break down the whole financial piece of your household, free spirits. You can never again say, whatever you want to do, honey. Am I reading your mail or what? You can't say that. Cop out breath. You got to get in the game and play, right, nerds? At least if we're going to give up our control and our power, you got to at least come to the table and act like an adult and play. That's all we ask. And then we've got two adults working together. Children do what feels good. Adults devise a plan and follow it. And see, the big benefit is this kind of a thing. For instance, those of you that are in military, you may get like temporary duty, TDY. I mean, where they just boom, ship you out somewhere. Your spouse is left sitting there holding the bag, right? And clueless and lost. And you're in another country, and your spouse is left holding the thing. You've got to be able to do this. 75% of you ladies will outlive your husbands. You've got to be ready to handle this money. You've got to know what's going on with it and how it's being handled. This thing of being a caretaker or the caretakee thing, that's what you do with children. Working together, free spirits and nerds, working together, spenders and savers, and coming into a oneness. I'm not trying to make you spenders into savers. Not necessarily. I think you'll come along as you just mature. I'm not trying to make you savers into spenders, but I think you'll loosen up and do some more spending when you see that your goals are being accomplished. See, what'll happen is you will meet in the middle, and you'll find this oneness in your marriage. It'll absolutely work.